and welcome to the Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast, your weekly 7-minute spiritual leadership lesson. This series is called The Mobilizing Leader, the Why and How of Building Through Others. We hope you will find it helpful in your leadership growth. If you want to listen to the past episode or download the notes, please go to www.outlookchurch.co.za/mustardseedleadership. Now, here's today's episode.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast. We are week 7 of a series called The Mobilizing Leader. How do we as leaders mobilize others, empower others, get them involved in what God has called them to do? So how and why we build through others. Now, first part of the series, we looked at the why it's such a big and important thing. And if you missed that, please go back and have a look because it's crucial. There's so many powerful factors of why it's important to be a mobilizing leader. Second part, we've been looking at the how. And so far, we've looked at mobilizing leaders are not control freaks. That's what's going to kill trying to mobilize others is when you have to control everything. Second, mobilizing leaders build away from themselves. Thirdly, mobilizing leaders bury their pride. And this week, I want to talk about the fact that mobilizing leaders believe in others. They look, they see potential in others, and they're willing to risk with them. Mobilizing leaders take risks with young leaders. They see potential in others. They believe what God could do through them and in them, and they create opportunities to train, to test, and to release. One of the quotes I've shared before, someone once said, the only way that you will know if you can trust someone is to trust them. And that's what mobilizing leaders do. They give people the benefit of the doubt. They trust them and see how they respond. They don't wait for years waiting for them to prove themselves. They trust them and see if they are trustworthy. And they don't start skeptical or cynical, believing the worst about someone until they're proven wrong. Rather, they start by believing and trusting the best and hoping that they're not proved wrong. Another John Maxwell saying is he said, we always got to learn to try and see the 10 in everyone. There's a 10 in everyone. There's something God has put inside of them, something that makes them unique, a set of gifts, talents, abilities. And the mobilizing leader is always on the lookout to find the 10 in someone and try and bring it out. So what does this look like practically? Biblical examples of believing in young leaders. And when I talk about young leaders, I'm not just talking about age, although we've got to really empower and mobilize the younger generation, but it might be an experience as well. They might be new to this whole biblical leadership thing and just need someone to come alongside them, empower and believe in them. Let me look at 3 examples quickly. The first and best, of course, is Jesus believing in his young disciples. Those disciples were young. Most of them, seems that Peter was older than teenage years, but the rest were probably still in their later teenage years, and yet Jesus believed them. And we've looked before at some of those disciples and realized just how unqualified and even disqualified some of them seemed to be. And yet Jesus chose them and he poured himself into them. He raised them up to depend on the Holy Spirit. He believed that God had called Peter to be the leader of the early church, despite all of Peter's excesses and arrogance and all of the things that Jesus had to deal with inside of him. He believed in Thomas. Even when Thomas didn't believe in him, he believed in Thomas. And Thomas went on to be an incredible missionary into India. He believed in Matthew, the tax collector. Even when his other disciples wanted nothing to do with this guy, Jesus believed in him, saw the potential in him. And we see how Matthew then later wrote the Gospel of Matthew. Point is, Jesus mobilized others. He believed in young leaders and empowered them. Here's another example that I want us to look at is Eli. Eli was the high priest in the Old Testament, and he believed in this young little guy called Samuel. Let me read an extract, 1 Samuel 3:7-9. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time, remember God had been calling Samuel, Samuel, and he didn't understand or know what to do. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. Then Eli realized the Lord was calling him. I love that little line. Eli realized the Lord was calling him. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. What I love about this is Samuel recognized in that moment, this young boy, as young as he is, there's a prophetic anointing upon his life. And instead of dismissing it because he's just a kid, he trained him, empowered him to learn to hear the voice of God and respond. And we know Samuel then went on to be one of Israel's greatest judges and prophets. It's a beautiful thing. One more example, New Testament, is how Paul believed in young Timothy. Here's an extract from Acts 16, 1-3. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jew, was Jewish and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. The believers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, and that, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I love this, that as Paul was ministering in that church, he saw something in this young man. We know he was young because some of those famous scriptures when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, don't let people look down on you because you're young, but set an example. He saw something in this young buck, this young leader who really had a passion to travel between Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. And he saw something and he believed in him and he said, I want him to come with me. And the beautiful story is the way Paul kind of adopted him as a spiritual son, trained him. And next thing we see Paul and Timothy ministering together. Next thing we see Timothy is now leading the church in Ephesus, going on to be a great apostolic leader himself. That's what we're talking about. Mobilizing leaders believe in others. They're willing to take risks with young leaders. So here's the big idea. Mobilizing leaders see potential and believe in the potential of others enough to take risks with them. And so I want to challenge you. I've got a couple of questions, like normal. So let me ask them, and I'd love you to take a while, ponder them, ideally even discuss them as a team. Question number one, when you look at team members and people you work with, do you more easily see a 10 or see a 1 in terms of their potential? It's good to realize in yourself the way you see people. Do you look through cynical eyes, always seeing their faults? Or are you able to see potential? You see the 10. Are you able to look for it and call it out? Secondly, do you find it easy to trust and risk with potential leaders, or do you struggle and why? Love you to just evaluate yourself once again. Are you that kind of person who naturally wants to trust others, or are you very reticent, holding back before trusting them? Remember, mobilizing leaders trust others. It's the only way we're going to empower them is by trusting them. And then lastly, can you identify a few people in your sphere of influence that you can take a risk with, and are you willing to try? If you just think right now about some of the people you work with, part of your team, some potential leaders, who can you take a risk with by asking them to lead a project, to lead a meeting, to do something, to preach, teach, do something? Are you willing to take a risk with them? Only as we risk believing in them will we see their potential arise. I hope that helps. Come on, leaders, we call to be mobilizing leaders. We've got so many more leaders we need to raise and release, and it starts with this, the way we see the people around us. So I hope it helps. We've got one more episode of the series next week, and then we're going to wrap that up. And so I hope to see you then. So until then, God bless, and bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Remember, if you'd like the notes that come along with this episode or any one of our past episodes, you can visit outlookchurch.co.za/mustardseedleadership, where you can see all our past episodes, all the resources and notes that go along with this. Until next time, keep growing.